Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Well, good evening and welcome. Thrilled to have you with us this evening here at your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the ideas that drive the left crazy. You know, crazy notions like limited government, individual liberty, traditional values, and free enterprise. Those crazy cockamamie principles. Thrilled to have you with us this evening. Our studio lines are open, and we're going to take a lot of calls tonight. 316-869-1330. You can also reach me by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Got a couple of events coming up at the end of the month. The Central County Republican Party is hosting their next cigar, bourbon, and martini event. Star Wars. A little Star Wars moment there. On the 28th at the Candle Club. Tickets are now available for that. You can find information for that on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and on Sedgwick.gop. And our next live remote will be at AFP's headquarters on the 31st. Sunday the 31st, we'll be broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters at Union Station. So information on both those events is at the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. So tonight we've got a great show. Former governor and ambassador Sam Brownback will be with us to discuss the president's recent trip to China, or as Donald Trump says, China. It was huge. It was great. It was the greatest trip ever. We'll talk with Sam, with the former governor, about that and his new book, China's War on Faith. Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice will be with us to update us on the latest as a activist liberal Douglas County judge. Oh, wait. Activist liberal in Douglas County. Shocking. On Friday, enjoined the Help Not Harm Act. Apparently, he thinks it's okay for minors to cut off their body parts. And Tanner Temple from AFP will try and explain why the ACLU, the Civil Liberties Union, is lobbying against voting rights. God. so much for defending civil liberties. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls, 316-869-1330. So we'll take a lot of calls tonight. Almost the entire 8 o'clock hour is all yours. So, all right, we'll have Ambassador Brown back on at 8, and then the rest of the show, I'm giving it to you. So who knows what could happen. So there is a notion in Republican politics, and I'm going to try not to weigh in on the notion. I want to give it to you, and I want to hear your thoughts. Over roughly the last decade, President Trump has played a significant role in Republican primaries, backing challengers against incumbents and helping shape debates over party direction and ideological loyalty. The most recent example was Senator Bill Cassidy's primary defeat in Louisiana this last weekend, as being widely interpreted as another example of Trump's continued influence within the party, despite what the media has to say. You know, the media would love us to think that Trump is not popular. That's just poppycock. And for Republicans, there's always been a rule, not just a political strategy, not just a campaign advice, but a rule. Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment. If you're not familiar with it, Reagan gave us the 11th commandment, which is, quote, "Thou shalt not speak ill of any fellow Republican." Simple, memorable, elegant. Reagan used it in California politics back in the 1960s. 1966, by the way. I wasn't even born yet. And the idea was practical: stop Republicans from destroying each other so Democrats could win by default. That's the notion of Reagan's 11th commandment, because politics is rough enough without handing ammunition to your opponents. The principle, I think it makes sense. And for decades, many Republicans treated it as almost like scripture. Don't attack your own. Don't fracture the party. Don't create circular firing squads. Fight Democrats, support Republicans, period. I have to confess, I myself have broken the rule on more than one occasion. And I have to admit, the question is, was I wrong to do so? Probably on occasion. But here's the question. Is the Republican Party of 2026 the same Republican Party Reagan was talking to in 1966? Or has the landscape changed? Are the consequences so dire today that it's time to reconsider or even disregard Reagan's 11th commandment? Because whether people like it or not, Donald Trump has operated under a very different philosophy. The message has often seemed to be, if you wear the jersey but don't play for the team, the jersey doesn't matter. And we've watched it happen. Candidates challenged, incumbents targeted, primaries become ideological and, frankly, policy purity tests. Some survive, some don't. As I said, just this weekend, Senator Bill Cassidy lost his primary after a race shaped heavily by the president's involvement and endorsements, adding to a broader pattern of contested Republican primaries around the country. Indiana, the Indiana State Senate races recently. And suddenly the question isn't theoretical anymore. It's local. It's personal. It's even here in Kansas. Because here in our own backyard, Republicans are already having these conversations at the local level, at the legislative level, and even looking ahead towards the governor's race. You've got candidates with an R next to their name whose voting records cause some conservatives to raise eyebrows. Kansans for Life, for example, has openly criticized Vicky Schmidt for her voting record on abortion, for example, and rightly so. Maybe these candidates vote with Democrats on key issues. Maybe they campaign one way and govern another. Maybe they run as conservatives, quote unquote, but govern as moderates. Maybe they vote to raise taxes or vote against the Second Amendment, or like Vicky Schmidt, they have a record that goes against core party platform issues. Or maybe critics are simply applying ideological litmus tests that leave no room for disagreement. It depends on who you ask. And that's exactly the point. So what are Republican voters supposed to do? If someone has an R beside their name, is loyalty automatic? Is support mandatory? Do you say, hey, Reagan said don't attack fellow Republicans, end of discussion? Or do you ask another question? What exactly makes somebody a Republican in the first place? Is it because they put the R behind their name? Or is it how they vote? My friend Dion Leffler from the Wichita Eagle has been a registered Republican for decades. We've looked into it. He is a registered Republican. Do any of you really consider him a Republican? If he ran for public office against a conservative incumbent, would or should Reagan's 11th commandment apply? Because Reagan himself wasn't just about unity. He was about principles, limited government, lower taxes, strong national defense, individual liberty. He wasn't about pushing team spirit. He had a philosophy. So imagine, if you will, two candidates standing on a stage. Both have an R next to their name. One says government shouldn't grow here, compromise there, spend a little more there. The other says cut spending, reduce government, defend conservative principles. Which one is actually closer to Reagan? The one carrying the label or the one carrying the principles? And if it's the second one, what happens to the 11th commandment? Does criticizing a Republican become betrayal or accountability? Because there's another uncomfortable truth here. Political parties aren't churches. They aren't families. They're coalitions, and coalitions change. They fight. They sometimes redefine themselves, sometimes dramatically. Go back 40 years and tell Republicans that someday they'd be arguing over whether or not biological males should be playing women's sports, or whether men could get pregnant, or how many genders there are. People would have looked at you and like you'd hit your head. Times change. Parties evolve. And maybe the harder question isn't whether Reagan's rule should survive. Maybe the harder question is this. What was Reagan trying to protect? Was he protecting Republicans, or was he protecting the Republican Party's ability to win? Because those are not always the same thing. Unity can create strength, but it also can create complacency. Criticism can create accountability, can also create division. There's risk either way. Support everyone with an R, and you might end up electing people who don't actually reflect your principles. Challenge Republicans in primaries. You might weaken your side for the general. There's no easy formula. But you might also get better candidates who actually stand with you in the brink. No magic answer, no bumper sticker, but the conversation is happening whether anyone likes it or not. Because primaries today aren't merely choosing candidates anymore. There's deciding identity. They're asking, who are we and what do we stand for? And perhaps more importantly, what matters more, party loyalty or ideological consistency? Reagan gave Republicans the 11th commandment. Trump seems to be asking a different question entirely. Maybe now it's up to Republican voters to decide which one matters more. Now, that's not a question for me to answer. That's a question for you to answer. We'll take a quick break, and then Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice will be with us to update us on the latest as a activist Douglas County judge on Friday and joined the Help Not Harm Act. Apparently, he thinks it's okay for minors to cut off their body parts. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Less than 1% of Kansas's population are attorneys, yet they control the entire Kansas Supreme Court selection process. 21 states already use direct judicial elections for their Supreme Courts. 55 Kansas counties already elect their judges. The Supreme Court should be no different. Visit votersnotlawyers.com and find out more. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Speaking of legal decisions, a major legal and political fight is unfolding this weekend after a liberal Douglas County judge temporarily blocked enforcement of the Help Not Harm Act, a law passed by supermajorities in the legislature that restricts gender transition medical treatments, get this, for minors, including puberty blockers and hormone therapies. The ruling immediately sparked accusations of judicial activism and renewed debate over the role of judges, elections, and whether courts are overriding the policy decisions of elected lawmakers. With us now is Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice. Brittany, thank you for joining us. A pleasure to have you on the show again.
Thank you for having me, John, to talk about this delightful topic.
Yeah, I mean, again, you got one judge in, of course, Lawrence, who just, you know, decides that he's smarter than the supermajorities in both chambers. And we're talking about the Help Not Harm Act. It's about protecting children from life-altering medical decisions at a young age. I mean, they want to, you know, cut off a body part, and somehow this activist judge in Lawrence thinks he's smarter than, you know, the elected supermajorities in both chambers.
Well, and what's most upsetting is that he completely rejected all of our experts and instead relied on the discredited WPATH and endocrine societies. We have so much research showing how political and ideological these societies are, and he relied on those groups rather than the qualified individuals that were brought into court, including the transitioner Chloe Cole, completely discredited her, sidelined all of her statements just because she's not from the state of Kansas. And it was an upsetting opinion to read, but this is the same judge that the Kansas Senate rejected putting on the Court of Appeals. And now he's asking to be put on the Supreme Court under the current judicial selection method. And it is just very concerning and should concern every Kansan that these are the kind of judges that are put on the court in the current system. And they need to get out and vote in August.
This, I didn't know that. So is he one of the ones that the commission?
He's one of the ones.
Oh, my God.
And that's what people keep saying, this is a district court, it has nothing to do with the Supreme Court. I'm like, but this is the guy that wants to be on the Supreme Court, that Laura Kelly could put on the Supreme Court, and you would have nothing to say about it.
Right. And see, this is a perfect example. And again, I mean, this is the first time I'm hearing about it. It's the first time I'm sure our listeners are hearing about it. If he had to campaign, if he had to go around and do town halls and answer questions, we might find out about his judicial activism. But because of this cloistered process that goes through, you know, five lawyers sitting on a closeted, smoke-filled room, we don't hear anything about this stuff.
Yeah, so you have these super voters, and, you know, just to be honest, I'm one of the super voters, but I'm a small minority of conservatives of the super voters who get to select these guys. And they're not well vetted. They're not, the people don't know what their judicial philosophies are. It's real easy to go before a panel of your judicial friends.
Who are likely to come before you, by the way. This is literally the foxes guarding the hen house.
Yes, it's the attorneys choosing their own judges and justices, which is just, and I don't know in what world we thought this was a good idea, but it's this whole trust the expert thing. And yes, the law is specialized. I get all of those things. However, the people of Kansas are smart enough to know how to pick good justices.
Right. Well, we've been picking judges down here in Sedgwick County. I mean, other than Kevin Smith, well, I think we missed on that one. But, you know, other than that one.
I love Judge Smith.
I do, too. But if I don't give him a hard time, I mean, he harasses me every time I see him. Exactly. Someone has to.
He's a fellow region alum, so we support each other.
Yeah. I mean, if I didn't give him a hard time, he wouldn't know I loved him. But seriously, I mean, if we're smart enough to pick our president, our district court judges, our congressmen, our senators, but all of a sudden we're not smart enough to pick Supreme Court justices, apparently.
And we did for 100 years. That people forget the
yes.
first 100 years of our state. This is how we select our justices. And now, changing the judicial selection process doesn't guarantee any sort of outcomes.
No.
But it does guarantee fairness. It guarantees the people an opportunity to hold these people accountable if they make rulings that are not consistent with the Constitution and the law. And that's exactly what this judge did. If you look at there's hardly any law in this opinion. I've read most of it. It's 117 pages, so it's very lengthy. But there isn't a lot of law in there. He ignores the U.S. Supreme Court opinion that's directly on point in this case. And he kind of just relies on it's an expert relying on other experts, as opposed to relying on the law, relying on our state constitution, or even the history of our constitution, and making up law out of whole cloth.
So looking ahead, what happens next? Is this likely headed towards the higher courts? And then, of course, what could broader implications for Kansas law and future legislation be?
Absolutely. So we knew when the state Supreme Court had its ruling in Hodes in 2019 and created this fundamental right to bodily autonomy that it would create issues in other areas of law. And we're seeing that come to fruition. The Attorney General has already said he will appeal the decision. And so it will move to the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court. Now, all of those things take a while in Kansas. cases are known to move slowly, especially on monumental issues like this. But I know the attorneys on this case are working diligently to make sure that our Constitution is respected.
It's just the whole thing is sad. And in the meantime, you've got children that are being affected here. And that's the sad part is, you know, children that are frankly being influenced negatively here and could be making life altering decisions to their bodies. Things you can't undo, or not easily, at least, undo these.
Yeah, and I think that if anyone takes time to listen to stories like Chloe Cole's and other new transitioners of how their lives are fundamentally changed, the potential loss of being able to bear children and all sorts of things that they were too young to consider. And, you know, I've heard a lot of individuals testify at the legislature who are transgender, have gone through some of these procedures. And I'll just tell you, it's heartbreaking. You're looking at children who they need help. They need, and they're crying out for help, and they need real help. They don't need to medically alter their bodies. They need people to come in and show them how to embrace how God made them, to show them how to love who they are and how they were made, as opposed to trying to change them, mutilating their bodies, taking away all sorts of functions that they don't even know how to consider yet.
Correct.
And the people that are allowing this to happen need to be held accountable.
Yep. No, you're absolutely right. If folks want information, if they want to find out more about Kansas Family Voice, they can find it at kansasfamilyvoice.com, correct?
That's correct. And follow us on Instagram, X, and Facebook.
Brittany, I know you've got events coming up later this year. We'll make sure to follow up with you and keep you on. We'll have you on the show again soon.
Thank you so much, John. I appreciate it. Have a good night.
Thanks, Brittany. Coming up, Tanner Temple from AFP. It's going to try and explain why the ACLU is lobbying this. Again, this is the Civil Liberties Organization is lobbying against voting rights. I mean, figure that one out. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And, of course, make sure you listen to us on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps if you're away from your radio. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, for years, we've heard, you know, the phrase protect democracy or let the people decide or, you know, defend voting rights from certain organizations. And now Kansas voters are being asked whether they should directly elect Kansas Supreme Court justices. But all of a sudden, those same groups are saying, ho, not so fast. The ACLU, for example, the ACLU of Kansas is actively campaigning against the constitutional amendment that would abolish the current nominating commission and allow voters to elect justices directly. Nothing more democratic than that. So much for the ACLU as defenders of liberty. So with us now is Tanner Temple of Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Maybe he can explain it. Tanner, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, John. So, yeah, the ACLU. It's civil liberties for the judges, but not civil liberties for the rest of us.
Yeah, so, exactly.
It sounds like they're protecting a small group of lawyers once again.
I don't get this. I mean, they routinely argue for expanding voter access, voter participation, and here they are opposing a proposal that would give every Kansan a direct vote on who serves an entire branch of government. And they're opposing it. Have they explained why? I mean, what's their justification here?
I'll give you an example. We were lobbying this under the State House when we had all the people come in from different backgrounds, people from the community. The ACLU and the people on the other side of this issue were just bringing in a group of lawyers. And then they're like, well, I got another citizen from the community. Oh, by the way, he's also a lawyer. So it's just a continuation of that.
I guess the thing that gets me here, this current system gives enormous influence to a relatively small, I mean, this commission. I remember when I served on House Judiciary and they came in and they testified on this because we've been, you know, exploring this idea for years. And it was, you know, there was something like 5,000-7,000 lawyers or something like that. And then of that group, there was only, you know, a certain group that were actually bothered to vote. And you're talking about a handful of lawyers that actually select the commission. And then it's these five that are the majority. So basically it's the five that actually, you know, make the decisions. And I mean, it's they literally control an entire branch of government. And if voters can be trusted to elect our governors, our attorney generals, our legislators, our congressmen, our United States senators, who, by the way, pick, you know, come up with United States Supreme Court justices, but heaven forbid we can't pick our Kansas Supreme Court justices.
Well, we've already done it in the state before. Up to the 1960s, 100 years since the ratification of our state, citizens of this of the state were voting on Supreme Court justices. It wasn't until the triple play in the 50s, which, again, was wrong. We're not arguing that. But it go back to the message. This is our democracy. This is what the left is always chanting in the street. What does democracy look like? Here you go. Here's the opportunity to take back what is rightfully yours since the beginning of the ratification of our state. So when the ACLU is going out there advocating for this merit-based system, saying that we need to protect democracy, whose democracy are they protecting? The people I'm protecting is those that have been wronged by the judicial system, those like the victims of the Carr brothers murders, things of that nature. They're fighting for nine people on a committee, the majority of which are lawyers on this commission, to select Supreme Court justices. So when I'm out there knocking doors and we're putting door hangers up and fighting for this, I'm fighting for those that that are part of the state, that have been wronged by the Supreme Court, and giving that power back to them.
We're talking with Tanner Temple of Americans for Prosperity, Kansas. The ACLU, Tanner, argues judicial campaigns would become driven by political money and special interests. That's their biggest argument on this thing. But I mean, don't special interests already influence this process? I mean, they just do so behind closed doors. Isn't this just really about giving transparency in this process? That's the way I see it.
You're absolutely right. We're putting sunshine into the dark. I mean, what they never talk about is even during the retention elections, there is a very big portion of money coming from outside groups in those retention elections. But you never hear about that. And the reason you never hear about that is it's behind closed doors. What we're advocating for is opening that process up. I've never argued that there's not going to be money in some of these races. I've never argued that they would not have to stand on their own two feet as candidates. But at least we will know where they stand on judicial issues. And the people, again, if we can trust those people to elect the legislators, governors, et cetera, then we can trust people to elect those judges that interpret the law. So that's all we're fighting for, is to take that back.
Well, and, you know, the other argument that it would, quote, politicize the court. I mean, the Kansas Supreme Court has already found itself at the center of major political fights involving taxes and school funding and you know, half a dozen other issues. You've got one guy. I mean, Brittany Jones was just pointing out that this Lawrence activist judge in Lawrence that just said that minors should be able to cut off their body parts. Apparently, he's up for a possibility of being on the Supreme Court. Voters should have a right to know that these judges think the things that they think before they get appointed.
Exactly. Judges have more and more become political entities in all kinds of different states, not just Kansas. But that is a prime example of that. And some of the opponents of this will say, well, don't you want Western Kansas representation? We're already underrepresented in Western Kansas, where I'm from. If this gentleman or whoever this was that did this case on this transgender issue, if he's another Douglas County person, they're going to say, oh, that's a Western Kansas judge because he's part of the Big First.
So right, whatever.
That's their argument. Go look at the majority makeup. It's Johnson County or Douglas County, et cetera. So we're already underrepresented as it is. So getting to vote, Western Kansas will probably have that opportunity now.
Well, and, you know, here's the other thing, and I know I've got to let you run, but, you know, one of the things I go back to when Justice Beyer and her Beyer, I call her Beyer, but her husband hosted a fundraiser for then gubernatorial candidate Paul Davis in their home. And her argument was, well, I wasn't there. It was still, you're hosting a fundraiser for a Democrat gubernatorial candidate in your home, and yet you're, quote unquote, not political. I mean, you know, these people, it doesn't pass the smell test. So, look, let them campaign like everybody else. Let them answer questions about what they think on the issues that matter to voters, and then let the voters decide. I trust voters. I trust the people. I what does the ACLU think these people are stupid that they can't vote? I trust voters, and I want the voters to be able to decide. And I think that's what folks should be able to do. If folks will have questions, if they want to volunteer, if they want to donate, if they want to join you, if they want to knock doors, if they have questions about the amendment itself, where can they go for information?
Yeah, you bet. It is takebackthebench.com or votersnotlawyers.com. And before I hop off, I do want to end with this. 250 years ago, this is the ratification of our country. Our founding fathers put the power to the people to elect legislators, judges, you name
yes.
it. And it was an experiment, and we're continuing to experiment. And how poetic would it be, John, 250 years later, in the heartbeat of the United States and Kansas, we take back something that is rightfully ours from the very beginning. So we would love to have you. I was out knocking doors, even here in Douglas County. So we're always out working.
Yeah, well, as you know, my wife and I were out door knocking this weekend. We did a few hours on Saturday as part of the Day of Action. We'll be at it again this week, and we encourage folks to do that as well, because voters need to know. We still found a lot of folks that didn't even know this was coming up in August, and it's so important that folks get out there and help. Again, it's takebackthebench.com, and of course, we appreciate your work on this, and I know we'll have you back on again, Tanner. Appreciate you, brother. Thank you for your help. And folks, if they have questions, they can go takebackthebench.com or votersnotlawyers.com. Thank you again, brother.
Thank you. Take care, John.
We'll take a quick break and take your calls. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you, we just had him on, our friends at Americans for Prosperity. They believe freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for everybody. You have the power to change the trajectory of Wichita and Sedgwick County. Make your voice heard by visiting AmericansForProsperity.org. You can sign up. You can volunteer. You can get involved. Like I said, my wife and I go out and door knock as often as we. I try and get out every day. She does get out every day, and it really makes a difference to help educate voters. It's a great way to get a little exercise, and they're always looking for help. You can, again, visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up to help. There's a couple of events coming up. Our next live remote is coming up at AFP's headquarters at Union Station on the 31st, and the Sedgwick County Republican Party is hosting their next cigar event. Bourbon, Martinis, and Cigars on the 28th. So information on both those events is on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. So
great event at AFP downtown. That is a fantastic venue, and I encourage people to get down there. Don't let it scare you that it's downtown. It's easy, and it's a lot of fun. You meet some great people. Get to watch you work for 2 hours,
yeah. and then make fun, and try and make me laugh in the middle of this show.
But no, it's great. So I've encouraged people to.
And they always have a good spread of food.
Yes,
they do. So last time they had this Mexican deal was really good. It was very tempting, by the way. It's hard, very hard for me to try and eat in the middle of a show, but yeah, they had a great spread of food, and I'm sure they'll do that again. So yeah, I'll get information on both those events is on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. So Donna messaged me on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, wanted to know why I didn't weigh in the monologue on the Reagan rule. You know, the 11th commandment, mm-hmm. thou shalt. And well, part of it is because I've been guilty of violating that on occasion. Donna, you know, specifically, I was hoping to prompt conversation and not lead the conversation one way or the other. I would say certainly the president has made his intentions very clear. I mean, he has weighed in. I mean, the Indiana Senate races, he specifically targeted, was it 7 or 8 or 6 or 7 state senators who opposed redistricting, and he took out six of seven or seven or eight. I can't remember how many, but he took them out. I mean, he beat them. He targeted them in primaries and all but one lost. And they were people who opposed redistricting. And that's, you know, the exact thing that just happened here over the weekend. And Senator Bill Cassidy, who's been a long time, you know, I don't know if you call him a never Trumper, but he was clearly opposed to the president. He's been very outspoken. It's one thing to be critical. I mean, I've criticized the president on a couple things. I wish he'd sometimes stay off of Twitter, Truth Social. But it's one thing to be critical of somebody or disagree with them on a policy decision and be a Republican in name only and be somebody who's just put an R behind their name because they couldn't win if they were a Democrat. I think that's what ultimately is what we're talking about here with the Reagan rule, is someone who consistently votes against the party. Someone who is a Republican in name only. I think that's really what we're talking about here, Donna, is if you're talking about someone who, you know, they agree with us 60% of the time, and for one reason or another, or on one or two issues, you disagree. And that happens. Nobody's going to agree on everything. You know, I mean, I'm kind of flexing on my opinion on the death penalty. I'm not really sure where I am on the death penalty. I'm not really sure where I am on marijuana anymore. I absolutely vehemently oppose recreational, but, you know, on medical, yeah, I can kind of get there if it's regulated properly. And, you know, so maybe I'm on that. You know, does that make me a rhino? No. But you see what I mean? So that's now, if you're voting against a life, if you're voting against taxes consistently, you're voting to raise taxes, if you're voting constantly against the Second Amendment, you want red flag laws and you want to take away people's gun rights, and you're voting pro-abortion, and that's a different story. You're constantly voting against the party, the core party platform issues. Well, now, you know, so then the question, but you have an R behind your name. Well, now the question begs, does the Reagan rule apply? And is the party obligated to, or better yet, what if you endorsed a Democrat in another race? What if you supported Dennis Pyle in the last election cycle? What if you supported Laura Kelly? We had in that last race against Derek Schmidt and 4 years before that against Kris Kobach, we had a lot of registered Republicans publicly endorsing Laura Kelly. There's a good question there. You know, what happens if you're a registered Republican elected official and you endorse a Democrat? Does the Reagan rule apply? Do we still have to support you, or can we now criticize you? Because, you know, there's a loyalty issue there. So, Donna, I think the question then begs, is the Reagan rule a guide or is it a rule? And is it a commandment? So I know I'm not really giving you a complete answer here. I mean, what do you think, Phil?
Well, I think it should be more of a guide because
it's more nuanced now.
Well, yeah. I mean, when Reagan said this was back
66.
Okay. All right. And he's been a staunch Republican for the majority of his career. So
he was,
a lot has changed. Some things that there's some core things that have that don't change. I mean,
yeah, but life and guns and limited government, those core principles, traditional values,
use it as a rule and apply it to each individual.
Right. You know what? This might be an interesting question to ask our next guest.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. This might be a fascinating question to ask our next guest. I'm going to spring it on him. Oh, I hate to do it to him, but I think I will. I'm going to spring it on him. Our next guest, we're going to take a break, and then after the top of the hour break, former governor and former ambassador Sam Brownback will join us to discuss the president's trip to China and his new book, China's War on Faith. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We're always here for you. Let's keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting AM to the number 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Joining us now is former Kansas governor, U.S. senator, and former ambassador at large for international religious freedom, Sam Brownback. His new book, China's War on Faith, takes a hard look at what he describes as the Chinese Communist Party's campaign against religious freedom and the broader implications for the world. Ambassador Brownback spent years on the front lines of religious liberty battles, from confronting persecution overseas to advocating for the First Amendment protections here at home. He joins us now to discuss China, faith, freedom, and, of course, why he believes these issues matter to everyday Americans. Governor, thank you for joining us. Governor, old habits die hard, Sam. I'm sorry.
John, gosh, it's good to hear your voice. I hope you're doing well.
Yes.
I haven't talked to you in a long time.
It has been a while. I guess it was a little over a year ago you came to Wichita for that fundraiser that we did. Thank you, by the way. How have you been?
Happy to do it. Oh, I've been well. Thank you. Got 11 grandchildren now. going right at the Chinese Communist Party, because of the work I've been doing, and just really enjoying the time and the focus, and the freedom that comes from not being in a position, but being able to still address some of the key topics of the day.
You know, it's interesting. I read. Tell me if I'm right or if this is wrong, but you've been banned from entering China. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
I came in.
You're popular.
I consider it one of the great honors I've had in my life. I was in the front group of five that they banned. We banned a Politburo member from China that I was pushing hard to get banned, that was running the Uyghur concentration camps and had put down the Tibetan Buddhists. And I thought it was the first time we'd ever put a Politburo member and banned them from coming to the U.S. And they don't regularly come here, but they send family members here and they send them to school and they buy property here. And, you know, and we were banning all that for them and their family members. And I thought it was a real key symbolic move. And then in return, they banned Marco Rubio and myself and Ted Cruz and a couple of others that had been real China hawks, still real China hawks. And like I say, I consider one of the great honors I've had in my life. You're known by your friends and by your enemies.
Yes. Yeah. Winston Churchill, that was a famous quote of his, that if you have enemies, good, that means you're doing something right. So, and I'm sure Mary is just devastated that she hasn't been able to go visit China. So,
well, we do have an adopted daughter from China.
I know,
and
that's
I told
right.
her not to expect any presents, from the Chinese, and it's going to be a limitation on her being able to travel, but that's the way it goes. And as long as this regime is in power, which my hope is that it's not going to be all that much longer.
You know, the president just returned from China. From what you're seeing and from the news reports and maybe from your own personal knowledge, do you think it was a successful trip, or do you think it was mostly just, a dog and pony show?
I think it was a little bit of both. And I think overall, both of them got what they wanted and needed. They needed to show the world they could talk. They needed to reduce the temperature overall around the world. And right now, China's got us, in a tough spot for us. They've cornered this rare earth minerals market, which we've got to work around now. And that's going to take some time to do, but we can do it, and we are doing it. And then we've got price of oil and gasoline going up with the Persian Gulf, and that hits the midterm election cycle. And so we want that to go down. And as soon as that strangle on the Strait of Hormuz eases up, gas prices are going to drop rapidly. But that's a key thing for us because the midterm election cycles, and of course, the Chinese Communist Party never faces the public, so they don't have to worry about any of that. And so I think really the objectives were met. It's just over the longer term basis, and by that I mean the next 2 to 20 years, we are going to be in a confrontation with the CCP. They want to take us out. They want to take us down. They want to run the world by atheistic principles, and their primary initial target, religious people, because that's who will stand up to a government. And that's what I'm pointing out in the book. This is their primary target, and it's also probably our primary weapon against them.
We're talking with former ambassador and former governor Sam Brownback. You've argued that China isn't just targeting Christians, though. It's waging a broader campaign against religion itself, correct?
Yes, and that's the way it is. Communism is officially atheistic, of course, and it cannot stand or tolerate a power higher than the government. The government has to be the top power, and anybody that has an allegiance to a power different or higher than a government is an enemy of the state. And they've got now surveillance technologies that are so advanced, they can find that needle in a haystack, that one person out of 100,000 that would help organize people, push back, and they go at them. And often in countries like China, and specifically in China, the religious groups are the only civil society group left organized or organizable in a nation that's been in such a vast police state for so long. So they become really a public enemy number one to the state.
Do you think, Sam, that Americans have become, I don't know, for lack of a better term, complacent about our religious liberties? Do you think that we've begun almost to a point where we take things for granted here?
Oh, absolutely. And then you saw what happened when that happened. As religious associated groups, those associated with traditional values, started getting debanked, mm-hmm. deplatformed, de-insuranced. Crisis pregnancy centers, some of them couldn't get insurance. And that was the effort by a broader society saying, look, we just don't agree with your values, and we're going to make it hard on you to operate here. We're going to try to suffocate you. Well, President Trump comes in, pushes back against that, highlights it. People didn't think it was going on. They saw it. They said, well, okay, I guess it is going on. I got debanked. The National Committee for Religious Freedom that I helped start got debanked by Chase.
That's right, Bank. Yeah.
And, you're going, and I'm going, why? What did we do? And they wouldn't tell us at first. And then they gave us 5 different reasons, none of which made sense. When I went public with that, I had 15 other groups, mostly conservative, Christian associated groups, say, hey, you know, that had happened to them. But everybody just went away quietly, found another bank, and didn't want to make a stink of it because they thought it would hurt their organization. Well, that's how those things then get tighter, the grip on you, if people don't yell about it. This is wrong. This is a free society. You're free to practice whatever faith in public or in private, and you got to stand up and keep fighting and pushing for that right.
Yeah, I mean, the First Amendment not only protects the right to believe something, but it protects your right to, frankly, complain about it. And if you don't exercise it, then it grows weaker.
And then the societal pressures is what build up on you. People say, you know, we really just don't like those nettlesome people that right. have these moral callings that are associated with natural law, and it just doesn't fit the modern society, and we don't like them, and we kind of would wish they'd just shut up. And then that starts eating into, well, why don't we crowd them off the internet and deplatform them? Until Elon Musk bought Twitter, that was happening pretty extensively there.
Oh, without a doubt.
These things just, they do happen unless you push back publicly and aggressively. It just continues to eat into that fabric of the society. And you got to recognize, people of religious values that are seeking a higher calling and are not, they're not perfect themselves by any means, but they're seeking a more perfected way. They've always been a bother to a society or a dominant culture that's going, you know, you guys just really bug me. You look at what happened to Jeremiah in the Bible or Isaiah. I mean, they get put in jail or thrown down a cistern because the king didn't like them. Well, that continues to happen today, but that makes us a better world when we have people calling us to a higher way, a higher nature, a more perfected way of living.
This kind of leads a little into something we've been talking about a little bit tonight, my monologue, and we had a couple of messages and on this, and that is, you know, Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment, thou shalt not speak ill of any fellow Republican. You've been the victim of this. You've been criticized by, obviously, the media, Democrats, Republicans. You know, when Ronald Reagan brought this up, it was 1966. It's been, you know, times have changed. I'm curious, do you think the, you know, Republican Party of today should still adhere to the Reagan rule, or do you think the 11th commandment maybe has outlived its time?
I think one shouldn't talk bad about another person's personality or nature.
Oh, sure, yes.
But I think that being critical in a primary of a policy choice is fair game to me, because that's what you're laying out there and saying, look, they are for tax increases in this area. I'm for tax cuts. This is educating the public on it. They are pro-choice. I am pro-life. I think they're a fine person. I think they're a good individual, but we are different on this, and you should know that. And that should be part of your decision-making in this process. So to me, the 11th commandment speaks, you don't call somebody a name, you don't, you know, talk about a personal trait or something like that. You talk about policy issues that are differentiating between you and the other person. And to me, that's fair information that the public should have. And if you don't tell the public, nobody else is going to tell the public, and they're going to make an uninformed decision.
I think that's a great way of articulating it. And I know I'm running long, and I don't want to take too much more of your time on a Sunday evening. And I will preface this by saying, I doubt you will answer this question, because you are in a similar position that I am, because so many of these people are our friends. In your case, they're former colleagues, one of whom is your former lieutenant governor. But I do have to ask you, do you have a favorite in the governor's race?
Yes, it's the Republican that wins the primary. We have got to get this office back. And if we do, I mean, look at what we can do and need to do on taxes, yes, on school choice in this state, on the school funding formula. We've got some big issues that I tried to tackle. We got some progress made, but we didn't get far enough. We're getting left behind as a state. We've got to start getting some of these things done, and we can, and we've got to. That's my chicken answer. But
no,
what we got to do.
I figured that would be your answer. You know, it was ironic. I was talking with a friend of mine the other day, because it's been almost 10 years since I left the legislature. And I was talking to a friend of mine. God, it's hard to believe it's been that long. But I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and you will appreciate this, because I was talking to a friend and I said, you know what? If we had done what Sam wanted to do in 2 years, Kansas would be a zero income state, because you had the glide path to zero income taxes. If we had done this back in 2018, 2 years from now, Kansas would be a zero income state, because that was your plan. 10 years of glide path to zero.
It was, and we had made the tough cuts in state government, and we had fixed the pension system and put it into a defined contribution system that you had to do, and subsequently it's doing great at this point in time. And now that we moved off of it, we didn't continue it. You've got a dozen states out there trying to get to zero income taxes, because they know that's the sweet spot to growth. That's how you grow. That's what you got to do to grow. And I just I get sick about it when I talked to Grover Norquist of the Americans for Tax Reform, because you got all these states moving that way, and it's going, we were there, we were first, we had a plan, we could have done it, and couldn't pull her off.
I know.
Couldn't finish the job.
Think of that. Think where we'd be 2 years from now if we'd be at zero income taxes. But, you know, it is what it is. Yep. Sam, yep. Again, Governor, Ambassador, the title of the book is China's War on Faith. If folks want to get a copy, I'm assuming they can find it at Amazon. Is there a better yes. place they can go?
No, that's the best place right now is go there. But I really do want to encourage people to get it, because this is the key for us confronting the Chinese Communist Party. It's religion. It's their glass jaw. People have this inherent nature within them that they're looking for the eternal, for something beyond themselves. And the Chinese Communist Party denies it to them. And yet they're there. And there's maybe over 100 million Christians in China today. It's been one of the fastest growing Christian populations on the planet. We need to stand up for our brothers and sisters in Christ that are being persecuted in higher numbers now than any time, probably since Mao, and probably similar percentages. They're really going after them now.
Well,
we need to stand up, fight for them.
In Nigeria, too, I know you've been working closely with activists fighting Christian persecution in Nigeria, too.
It is, and they're just getting slaughtered, and they're beautiful people of faith. Frankly, and thankfully, President Trump's really doing something on Nigeria, and he's there on China. It's just we're in a squeeze right now, and I think he's going to have to be tactical here for a little bit. But he knows the score, and he knows the problem we've got, and I just think we've really got to confront the CCP. These guys are tougher than the Soviets ever were. They're bigger. They've figured the economic issues out. They're technologically far more sophisticated. This is the toughest hombre we've faced in the Chinese Communist Party, and we've got to start going after them.
Well, Ambassador, we appreciate, again, you joining us. The book is called China's War on Faith, and, again, it's a pleasure to have you on the show again. I know you've got an appearance coming up here at the Wichita Pachyderm Club at some point here in the future, and we're sure looking forward to having you come back to Wichita, and we'd look forward to seeing you again, my friend. Please give my best to Mary, if you would.
I will. Thanks, John. God bless you and all your listeners. I love Wichita. I love the community. Great place. I look forward to getting back down there again soon.
Thank you, Ambassador. It's a pleasure having you on the show again. We'll take a quick break, and then for the rest of the show, I'm turning the keys over to you. We'll take a break, and then we'll take your calls. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Less than 1% of Kansas's population are lawyers, yet lawyers control the entire Kansas Supreme Court selection process. 21 states use direct judicial elections, 55 counties you elect their judges. Why don't we do it at the Supreme Court? Should be no different. VotersNotLawyers.com. Visit it, find out more. Make sure you like and follow John Whitmer Show Facebook page while you're online. And of course, X, John R. Whitmer. Follow me. That was a fascinating interview. He's just, you know, I felt bad every time I called him Sam. I'm like, I should be calling you senator or governor or ambassador. I've known him for, I mean, I knew him when he was governor. I knew him when he was the senator. I knew him when he was, you know, so I just call him Sam.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and he's such a class act. And, you know, I feel he's been so vilified in the press. And my heart goes out to him and his wife. His wife is such a dear person, such a sweet person. And the way the press and the left have just made him out to be, and for the record, by the way, before anybody messages or emails or goes on Twitter with some nasty little comment, Sam Brownback did not cut school funding. The only governor to ever cut school funding was Parkinson, a Democrat. So let's just get that out of the way. You want to bring that fight, knock yourself out, bring it. 316-869-1330. I'll be happy to prove you wrong. I mean, he's just a true man of integrity and character. And the way the press have vilified him is deplorable. And he's just such a classy person. And I don't know, just a man of character and integrity. And
we definitely could have done a second segment, I think.
Oh, well, that's why I chose to just keep going.
Yeah, just keep going. Sure.
I know that ruins your timing on your segments.
I just kind of sat back and listened.
Oh, fascinating.
And just fascinating. Yeah. And so he,
I've never met anybody who's been banned from an entire country. I mean, literally banned from a country.
Like you said, that's when you know you've made it.
Yeah. Well, that's what Winston Churchill said. You got enemies? Good. That's, you know, that means you're doing something right. Well, we'll take a quick break to pay a few bills, and then it's yours. The rest of the show, the last half hour, turning over the keys. We'll take your calls, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS, or by listening to us on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages. And follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. So, you know, Phil, I sometimes will share these, head-scratcher stories, the stories that you can't be true, you know, stories that you like, nah, this can't be true, and yet it is stories.
Yeah.
So I got one for
you. Usually they begin, a man in Florida.
Man in Florida, yeah. Yeah. Man is, yeah, no, this is not Florida man. Okay. City council member in Linwood, Washington, should not be surprising, told her fellow lawmakers that she finds the American flag unrelatable and would never fly the stars and stripes. Council member Isabel Mata took issue with 27 different American flags flying in a park to represent various iterations of flag throughout American history. So the city was doing a, you know, flags of America document, because this is the 250th. So the city was doing that, celebrating, you know, the 250th anniversary. And so they were doing 27 different iterations of the American flag. And she took issue with it. So from the bench, she said, quote, "To me, a pride flag is way more relatable than an American flag. I would not raise an American flag at my house because I wasn't even born here," she said, "but I would raise a pride flag. And as the most diverse city in all of Snohomish County, I don't think I'm the only one who would maybe choose to have 27 other flags in Flag Park rather than that." She then went on to a whole scathing thing to condemn the city council and say that she doesn't like it. She doesn't want the American flag flying. And yeah, so there you go. This is one of those stories that hard to believe.
One head scratcher is, how did she get into the position?
It's the state of Washington. That's how.
Well,
it's, yeah, one of those liberal meccas on the left coast. But yeah, I know exactly what I would tell her she could do with her 27 other flags, including the pride one. But yeah.
Something you can use in case you run out of toilet paper.
There you go. There you go. And that's exactly what I would do if she was my representative. Charlie, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thanks for sticking around.
Hello, John. I got a question for you.
Sure, fire away.
Okay. I'm thinking a 3D chest that's going on in the Hermes Strait with the oil and all that stuff.
Yep.
It's going to be a nightmare if the civilians don't get armed. The oil ain't going to be nothing. Them people are going to get slaughtered if they don't arm the civilians.
You mean in Gaza or you mean in Iran?
Iran.
Yeah, I mean, but that's, you know, I mean, I'm kind
it,
of.
All of it won't mean nothing. The oil to heck with that. We don't need that oil.
That's my take on it, is we don't need it. If they don't want to fight for it, then, you know.
We need to arm them people.
Yeah. The problem with us arming those people is then at some point, what happens if they go all jihadi and then we got to turn around and fight them with the guns that we gave them? I don't have a problem taking out their key infrastructure, their key military infrastructure, but if we arm them and then we end up having to fight them, then the guns we gave them are now used. I mean, that didn't work too well in Vietnam. I think what we're doing is the best that we can do without, because I also don't want our troops boots on the ground over there.
They bombed a nuclear power plant today. Did you hear that?
Did they, Phil? I had not heard that.
It was something in the UAE. There was a drone strike.
Yeah.
And was targeting something there in the United Arab Emirates.
Yeah, just with our intelligence, where in the heck are they keeping all these weapons?
Yeah, it's a good question, you know, and Charlie, I appreciate the call. You know, it's, I don't know, the whole thing is a sticky wicket. And frankly, I think at this point, I think what we need to do is secure the strait as best we can, take out every possible ship that they can come up with. And, I mean, fish are cut bait on the strait. The one thing that has frustrated me is the fact that our quote-unquote allies have not stepped up. They need that oil more than we do. And frankly, if our European allies, who are more dependent on the oil that goes through the strait than we are, if our allies won't help secure that oil, then, you know...
That's Sean, just yeah. Absolutely stuns me.
Me
is,
too.
You've got Britain and France who are late to the party. I think each one of them has sent one ship.
Yeah, well,
so far
it's because we'll do
to
it.
The Strait. But this, yeah, that's not our oil. We don't
right.
Derive any of that oil from there. We've got plenty. But these other countries, NATO countries, they're not getting involved. And I just
no, it
just,
it's frustrating.
It's a head scratcher.
I don't know. Charlie, it's a frustrating situation. And I frankly do believe that if our European allies, like I said, who are more dependent on that than we are, won't step up, then frankly, I see where the president's going on this. And, you know, I have a buddy who told me I was with him Friday night, and he said, I just turned it into a big glass parking lot. I don't think that's the solution. But I don't know if we want to arm them, because my fear is then you know, at some point we may have to fight them, and now they're turning our guns against us. So it's a tough one, though. But, you know, I appreciate the call. We'll I don't know. That would have been a good question for Ambassador Brownback. That, you know, get him yeah. back, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a quick break. I want to hear what you think. Our studio lines are open. 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. When we come back, I got another one of these for you. I mean, we know what the left thinks of cops, Phil. A Starbucks barista drew a pig on a police officer's cup when they came in to buy their coffee.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we'll read you that story when we come back. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. So 21 states use direct judicial elections for their Supreme Courts. 55 counties use direct elections for their judges. Sedgwick County, we elect our district court judges, and yet the ACLU says, yeah, no, can't do it for our Supreme Court. Yeah, whatever. Visit votersnotlawyers.com. Find out more. And, of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Also, don't forget, coming up on the 31st is our next live remote at AFP headquarters at Union Station. And the Sedgwick County GOP is hosting their next cigar, martini, and bourbon event. That's coming up on the 28th. You can find information on both of those events at the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. So yeah, I told you about this. Been a long day for a deputy in the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. In the middle of his 16-hour shift, he decided to drop by the Starbucks in Norwalk for a cup of coffee, a little cup of Joe. When the deputy got his order, he noticed that one of the Starbucks baristas, no doubt named Karen, had drawn a pig on the outside of his car. Yeah, I know. California. Again, it's the left coast here. Drawn a pig on the outside of his coffee cup. Lord only knows what they may have done to the liquid, by the way, inside the cup. Sheriff Robert Luna is furious, apparently, and rightfully so. He says Starbucks should be ashamed, calling the artwork extremely offensive, inappropriate, unacceptable. The sheriff said he personally contacted the company's corporate security to raise concerns about the drawing, said the action was extremely offensive, inappropriate, and unacceptable. The department wrote in a statement, acts that promote hostility and division toward law enforcement undermine community trust and public safety. Starbucks, for their take on it, apologized, said they are, quote, taking swift action, and let's hope that happens. So there was, however, huge debate amongst the people around Norwalk, and nearly 10,000 people posting messages on the Sheriff's Department Facebook page. However, many of the posts mocked the deputy and accused him of not being able to take a joke.
Okay.
Does this surprise you?
No. Well, consider where this happened at. No, this does not surprise me at all.
Yeah, so they post a picture, and, the pig is at least smiling in the picture.
You know what I wish? I wish that would have happened to officer. Is it the
Sheriff deputy.
Well, it's the police officer up there in Kichai. I wish.
You know what? I wish somebody had tried to rob the store, and then the sheriff's deputy. How would you feel then?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's none of this surprises me, but it just, this is the mindset of the left, the quote unquote tolerant left, the tolerant intolerant left. You know, heaven forbid that the folks who call themselves tolerant, the folks who call claim to be so tolerant and so accepting of others, except of course, you know, if you're a cop or white or Christian or MAGA. I mean, same thing if you happen to go in there wearing a Make America Great Again hat or tell them you wear, you know, a Trump voter. I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And again, what it comes down to is this, that people don't like people. The left has no tolerance for people that they disagree with.
And this is the barista probably just got done getting off the picket line. She's a union looking for a bigger salary or whatever to continue working there, and upset with the, attire that they are forced to wear. And
right.
And,
yes. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, that's a good point. Yes. I'm sure she just demanded her $35 an hour too, because, you know, she has to have, and I'm sure she wants equal pay for equal work. You know, probably wants all the other, you know, ad nauseum free benefits too, and 4-day work week and everything else. And yet she feels entitled to demean law enforcement, who's risking their lives every day to keep her safe, which, again, you know, it's your free speech rights. I would fire her for this. If I'm the Starbucks manager, you're fired for that. It's that simple.
Yeah.
You're fired.
Because she has a job to do. Her job is to serve coffee.
Customer service.
Yeah.
You know, it's no different than, I mean, here, I put it to you this way. What if I wrote put a swastika and served it to a Jew? Or something else offensive, you know, is that acceptable?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not acceptable. None of this is acceptable, but this is the left. This is what they consider. And the fact that reactions on the sheriff's Facebook page was mixed, that right there speaks volumes, in my opinion. It would be. Unfortunately, I'm glad to say, at least I'd like to think, that if this happened here in Wichita, that it would be overwhelming, not mixed.
No, that's the difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here in this red state.
You'd like to think.
Yeah.
The reaction would be different. I hope. But yeah, you never know. But I like to think it would be different. I'd like to think that here in Wichita, here in Sedgwick County, we'd show a little more respect for law enforcement.
Yeah, I think overall in majority, we support our law enforcement and
you would hope
and all that they do. Yeah.
But you never know. I mean, there are some here. There are, you know, I mean, Brandon Johnson on the Wichita City Council was pretty defund the police, pretty openly defund the police. There are still a number of them that are pretty openly defund the police.
Yeah.
So it's not that far removed, folks. There are people running right now. If you look at some of the candidates that are running for governor, some of Roger Marshall, I mean, he's got 10 opponents now running, 10 different Democrats running against him for that seat. Half of them are crackpots, or more than half. They're all crackpots. So, in fact, we should explore a little more of that race. That's going to be entertaining.
That is going to be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Got an interesting, by the way, on the morning show coming up on Friday, Dion Leffler. You know, we're doing our next point, good. Counterpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Coming up on Friday. Whoo, doggie. That's going to be an entertaining one. So you'll want to tune in on Friday. Dion and I are going to have some fun. So in the meantime, thank you for joining us. We will probably not be with you next Sunday because it's Memorial Day weekend. But we will be with you this week. Tomorrow morning, tune in for Woodward and Witt. In the meantime, carry on, fellow deplorables.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's key.
...able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.